Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. It is a Friday the 13th, and every Friday, doesn't matter if it's the 13th, the 1st, whatever, we talk to the great Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, and of course, a coach at the Montgomery Bell Academy, and a proud Ohio State, the Ohio State Buckeye.
There we go.
As well. What's up, Chris? How you doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, man. The week's been good. You know, Thursday, I got 25 points on Silly Dog Underpick, so I'm feeling actually good. Getting ready for CPA tonight, which is a great, great team and a great, great coach. So I'm ready to go. Not ready to go, but ready to go.
By the way, I never got a – I had to miss yesterday. Who did I take?
Yeah. Memphis.
Okay, I got –
first pick.
Oh, all right, we got Memphis.
Swinging a miss.
Okay, who'd you take?
Wake Forest over Ole Miss.
Yeah, that ain't gonna hit.
No. Okay, have your phone ready.
No chance.
Have your phone ready.
No chance. I'm gonna tell you right now, that one's got no chance. Okay. Ole Miss is legit, man.
But what if they go there and fumble like three times?
Nope.
And, you know, two interceptions, and all of a sudden they 21-0.
Nope,
ain't happening. So Joe comes in here on Monday because he was with MTSU last week when they went and played Ole Miss. And yes. I said, so you saw Ole Miss firsthand? What they look like? And he looked at me and goes, That's a football team. Like, that's
they're playing MTSU.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, like, I'm just telling you, Chris.
Their offensive line, 6'6", 322. They run a hurry-up offense. The offensive line was beating the receivers to the line of scrimmage. Their defense, I mean, there was – we counted every play. There was between four to six guys tackling on defense. And telling you, if there's a better football team in the country, I'd like to see it. But what to a larger picture was the fact that – the players on the sidelines, the guys not playing, and we're lifting each other up the entire time.
Wow, okay.
And I'm like, that's a team. That is a football team that's come together as one, and that's scary.
And that does make a difference. I agree with you 100%, but, man, they're playing Wake Forest.
Well, you never know. We'll see.
You never know.
Good
you
luck, Chris.
Never know.
That's all I'll say to that. So going into this one, the Jets come to town. Obviously, both teams did not have a good start to the season. The Titans had a 17-0 lead. They blow it. Quite frankly, the quarterback blew it. And, I know it's a team sport and all those things, but the quarterback play was the reason they lost that game, in my opinion. So what do you think the conversations have been like this week of trying to build Will back up and to get his mind right so he can correct some of the mistakes that he made going into the Jets this weekend?
You know, if you look at some of the great quarterbacks in the league that's been in the league, you got Tom Brady, you got John Elway, you got Peyton Manning. What made them so special? Yeah, they had the arm strength. Yeah, they had all these things. But it was the decision makings that they made on the field. And if you look at Will Levis, the reason why they lost that game, and I'm not just putting it on him, but it was two costly decisions that he made, the pick six and the fumble and the other interception. So if I'm his quarterback coach, if I'm his offensive coordinator, I'm going to sit him down and we're going to watch film. We're going to watch film and say, okay, this is the mistake you made. If you just get sacked, not just throw an interception, if you just get sacked and live another down, you know, we'll still have a chance to win the game. So I just think that, you know, even though a lot of people are upset about what happened last week, this is a correctable thing. I know everybody talks about him, you know, playing hero ball, and I'm not saying that to be an insult. I'm just saying that don't try to be the hero. Just live another down and come back and try to make some plays.
What's your thoughts on watching, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is still not 100%. Calvin Ridley, I like, and you know, when they did connect, it was good, but he ran the wrong route. It doesn't seem like they're on the same page yet.
Yeah.
You know, Boyd finally got some catches later in the game. I felt like after a long off season that we'd see more out of this receiving group, and we didn't see it like I thought we would last week. Do you think that can be corrected this week?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely could be corrected. But if you look at, you know, when they were going through OTAs and, you know, going through, you know, camp and all that stuff, a lot of those guys wasn't there. So now you get into actually into camp, and then you start doing 7-on-7 and doing team and all that stuff. But then you play in the preseason, and you guys really don't play at the top speed. So I think that what they have to do, they got to look at film, you know, do 7-on-7 and do routes versus air to try to get the timing, because all it is the timing. You look at that play in the game where Ridley is wide open, and all Levis has to do is just drop it in the breadbasket and they have a touchdown. Why didn't it work on that play? It's because if you look at back in OTAs, if you look at back in camp, the timing wasn't there. It's kind of like this. If I keep putting on the same record, I'm going to continuously hear the same song. And that's the same song that we keep hearing. Oh, the timing's off. He's not running the right routes, or he's not doing this, he's not doing that. They got to turn on the film, figure it out, get it done in practice, and I think they'll get it done.
You know, it's, you know, we love you. And the fact that we get you and Derek Mason to talk to on our station, is we're so grateful for that. And I asked Derek one time, I said, I read one time you got mad at Joe Flacco and you yelled at him during the game. What was that about? And Derek's like, because I was open. He didn't throw me the damn ball. I'm like, that's great. Did you ever get mad at Steve or a quarterback during? Because I'm telling you, Chris, if I'm a teammate and Will Levis does that with me, I'm out there, I'm jumping his butt on the sidelines. Did you ever jump a quarterback? You had to, right? At least one.
I was scared of Stephen Neal, so I'm not going to yell at him. I mean, that's one thing. I was scared of him. Neil O'Donnell.
Not Dave Craig, back though. At me.
Yeah, I'll yell at Dave Craig because he looked bad in his uniform.
Well, that's elder abuse.
Yeah. You know, but what I would did is, you know, with me, I'm not going to go yell at a grown man. I'm not going to cuss at a grown man. I'm just going to go to Steve. Hey, Mac, it's cover two, and they rotated to cover three, so I ran my comeback, and let's get it done that way. But as me, I'm not that type of guy that's going to cuss somebody out and get mad at quarterback, because at the end of the day, we're on the same team. Now, if there's a time where I consistently get open, and you're not throwing the football and you're looking the other way, so what I would do is I would say, okay, Mac, hey, let me talk to you for a second. This cornerback is terrible. He can't cover me. And then he'll throw me the football. And I'm going to give you a perfect example. We were playing against the Cincinnati Bengals, and this is my rookie season. And I'm going against Brim. At that time, Brim was like been in the league for 600 years. I mean, he had a cane. I'm like, Chris Chandler, this cat can't cover me. So what did Chris Chandler do? He saw that they went man-to-man coverage. He aborted the read and threw a 46-yard touchdown. I'm communicating in a different way because I respect the individual.
Okay. So let me ask you this, Chris. Now that, you know, and I don't know how much you and Steve or Neil or whatever would have those conversations about what he sees, because I can remember Coach Fisher telling a story about Derek that, you know, Derek was mad that he was open and didn't get the ball, and and that he put Derek in at quarterback at practice to kind of get that view of what the quarterback sees and the split-second decision that you have to make. Now that – I know, it was great. He threw it in the dirt.
That's so good.
Now that you're a coach and you kind of see things from a different angle, and you know, I know you're working with the receivers, but, you know, the young quarterbacks that have come through – does it give you a different perspective now that you're not playing anymore?
That is so good because, just like you said, I coach wide receivers, and, you know, sometimes, you know, before, earlier in my career, you know, guys would get upset and be like, you know, I'm not catching the ball, I'm not this and that. And I said, hold on. You got to understand that the quarterback's got to go through his reach. He's got to go with his first progression, second progression, third progression. He's got to set the front. He's got to do all these things. So what I had to do is just make sure I was in the right spot. So when I was in the right spot, then he can get it there. But what I did, what I do with my receivers, when we go routes versus air, I say watch the quarterback, watch his drop, watch the play fake, watch everything that they do. So now when the wide receiver sees what the quarterback has to go through, where he has to do his play fake and look at his eyes down the field, now you get a good bird's eye view of what the quarterback goes through, because he's got to go through so many things. And when you have a quarterback that goes through so many things, sometimes he's going to make the right decision, and sometimes he's not because of what's going on the field.
What, you know, we were talking today about receivers blocking. We brought up Juwan Jennings, receivers blocking down the field. There was a play the other night where you had Kittle, the other receiver, Brandon Ayuk, and you had Jennings. You had like five guys down the field blocking. How do you get that all uniform together? I mean, is it practice? Is it jumping their butt all the time? How do you do that? Because I got to tell you, it was beautiful watching the downfield blocking by the 49ers and the receivers.
You know, it's a want to. And I know that sounds cliche. So we say, oh, you got to want to, but you got to want to block. And I'm going to give you a perfect example. You know, when I was with Les Steckel, he said a president to say, you know what? If you don't block, you don't play. So every play I had to block, just like that situation I told you when we were playing the Buffalo Bills and it's snowing, we're not going to the playoffs, and I'm just chilling, I'm not blocking. I get a call. He said, Chris, if you don't block, I'm taking you out of here. So what I did, even when it's snowing, I'm cold, I'm cut blocking because I take pride. Just imagine if I'm running the route and all the offensive line stops blocking. I'm not going to catch the pass because I'm not going to get open because the quarterback's going to get hit in the mouth. So as my teammate and as my family member, we say at the beginning of the season that he's my brother. If I care about my team and I care about my brother and I care about, you know, the guy that's next to me, then I'm going to block. Even if it's taking on a safety, even if it's taking on Greg Lloyd, Now, I don't know about Greg Laurie, but somebody else, but if it takes me to hit somebody in the face because of my teammate, then that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Oh, fantastic. All right, our question today is, it's Friday the 13th. What are you scared of, superstitious of, on those lines? What NFL player where you were like, I don't want to go across the middle? Is there one that's – I know you've told us before. Is it him?
Greg Laurie.
Why is it him?
Because my rookie season, first of all, he had this awful-looking face mask, and he's a black belt in karate, so that's the one I'm not going to fight. So I'm running a shallow cross, and I'm a rookie. So I'm thinking I'm cool because I scored 2 touchdowns 2 weeks ago. So I'm running a shallow cross, and he's a Mike linebacker, and he backs up a little bit, and he tattoos me. So I'm laying on the ground, my face mask to the side, you know, snot's coming through my nose. Everything is just discombobulated. I put my hand up for him to help me up, and he slaps my hand, and he cusses me out again. You such and such, don't you ever come. So what I was going to do is I was going to write him a letter. Dear Mr. Floyd, I am so sorry for coming across the middle. That's one guy that I will never, ever, ever want to go against again. Everybody talks about Ray Lewis. When you talk about a Greg Laurie, a big physical, a guy that's a black belt in karate, that he run through your lips, that's a guy that I'd never want to see. So if I see him walking in the mall, I'm going the other
way. Well, what about a guy you face in practice every day? Because I've heard stories about Blaine Bishop.
Oh, my gosh. No, it was actually Chris Dishman. Chris, I hated going against Chris Dishman. We called him Dish Rat. He was crazy because we'll go on 7-on-7, and I'll run a slant, and he'll still hit you. That's one of those guys that you hate going against. And then there's another guy that I couldn't stand. There's two guys I couldn't stand to go against was Greg Favors and Perry Phoenix. It got to the point to where with Greg Favors, he's yelling and screaming and this and that and trying to hit people and team and all that stuff. But then you got Perry Phoenix, who's talking stuff the whole time, who's going to hit you in practice, to where I got tired of it, and we're fighting in practice. That's how crazy it got. We're fighting in practice. That's how crazy it was.
I asked Derek, we were talking about, I guess, James Harrison is coaching now.
Oh, my God.
And there was this picture of him, like, walking through practice, like, during, work, you know, stretch and everything. And I'm like, this looks like the old guy that thinks he could still play, and he probably could,
right?
And Derek goes, man, I was in Baltimore one time, and I caught one over the middle, and I had to jump. The quarterback threw it too high, and so he had to jump up and catch it. And, like, as he's coming down, he sees 92 coming his way, and he's like, I thought to myself, this is going to hurt, and he did.
hey, sometimes you got to make a business decision.
Yeah, you know you're about to be in a car wreck. Like, it's about to happen.
Hey, I'm telling you, Greg, I'm not afraid of people. But the one person I was afraid of was Greg Laurie.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, and that dude was, man, I'm nervous right now. I mean, just
have you
about
talked
it.
To him since you stopped playing football?
I did a golf tournament with him in Charlotte one time, and this was years ago. And I got out the car, and true story, I'm like, still nervous. I'm like, why am I nervous? And then I go up and I shake his hand, and he still looks mad. He's like, I was thinking he's going to remember the play that he hit me on, but he didn't. But it's just one of those guys that are just very intimidating. Not just intimidating on the field, but intimidating, you know, off the field, because he's a black belt in karate. He can jump, he can stand still and kick the ceiling. So why would I want to be in the same room with that dude?
I'm looking at his career NFL stats, tackle sacks, and one layout of Chris Sanders in 1995. So not bad.
Oh, that's good. Chris, appreciate it as always. We look forward to your analysis Sunday at John Bon Jovi's for the pregame show. Appreciate it.
Hey, man, I love you guys so much. Thank you so much, guys.
You too. Always enjoy these segments with Chris. He joins us every Friday at 10 o'clock. And again, join Jared, Chris, and Derek Mason at John Bon Jovi's this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for the pregame show. They'll break down the Week 2 matchup between the Titans and the Jets and give you the latest updates before the game. The pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, and the award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon.
Ooh.
We'll get into more of the Titans and the Jets coming up next.
Plus, we're still weighing in on the teetotter seesaw debate.
Yeah, I noticed you've gone to social media and asked people.
We got the Friday the 13th going, but we, as we do all the time, we kind of go down a different path, and I'm fascinated by this. Is it a teetotter or is it a seesaw?
A teeter-totter.
What did I call it?
Teeter-totter. Not
teeter.
Not, somebody wrote T-Martin, T-Higgins.
Teeter-totter.
Tater-tots.
Tater-tots. Oh, God. Those sound good right now.
They really do.
Yeah. Run to Sonic, Dr. Crane, and get us some. Yeah, that'd be
clock
good.
Me.
We'll do more next. Jason, Big Chill, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.